God first. Our key verse is a statement from Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Putting God first, seeking His will, His purposes, His thoughts, His ambitions, should be our first work. Putting God first means that we should do this every day. When we awaken in the morning, even before we get out of bed, we should thank God that we're alive. We should say, Lord, You have entrusted me with life. I give this life to Thee. Give me Thy Spirit, that my thinking, my acting, my planning, everything today might glorify Thee. Then we can get up and do our business and our work. Later on, we can take more time for detailed meditation. We should take time for Bible study, sometime in the morning before we set up. We should study our Sabbath school lessons. I am of the opinion that the person who does not study his Sabbath school lesson, in all likelihood, doesn't study the Bible systematically. Then we should take time for personal prayer and for family worship. The family worship need not be long. It should have a common denominator. If there are little people in the family, worship should interest them, and the older folk would get on very well. If we are going to seek God first, we must look at our time and our abilities and our money and our lives and say to ourselves, all these things must be devoted to God first. Now notice the 7 points we have. Bible study, Sabbath school lessons, prayers, family worship, voluntary money budgets, healthful living, tithe and offerings, and our abilities. Study very carefully the first part of this lesson, and ask yourself, in what areas am I coming short of making God first in my life? Part number one stresses a truism. God, of course, is first. In that initial declaration in the Decalogue, Jehovah says, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God is a person who must be the dynamic of our lives. What makes me tick? What makes me do and decide what I am doing and deciding? If I am a true worshipper of God, God must be at the center. Everything I do, everything I think, everything I plan, everything I devise, must have God as the central dynamic force. The second commandment says, I must make no substitutes, no idols. An idol is the substitute that makes me tick. It may be my work. It may be a desire for money, for power, for position, for pleasure, for prestige, for social relationships. These then become idols. You will recollect the parable that Christ told about the folk who made excuse not to come to the banquet. One man says, I have a piece of property. I must go and look over it. Now, he had already bought it. He didn't need to look over it. It was his, but that was his interest. The other said, I've got a couple of yoke of oxen, new farming equipment. Must go test them. Well, he already had tested them before he bought them, but these were now his dynamic. And the third one said, I've got socially involved. I've married a wife. And so one's property, one's work, and one's social entanglements are the main dynamics that pull away from God. Part number two, warnings against putting self first. We have the story of Jeremiah and Baruch. Baruch was Jeremiah's secretary. He was to take the place of Jeremiah, as was the custom, when the prophet became old or feeble. Jeremiah studied his character very closely and said, "Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Seek them not." Times were too bad for personal advantage, personal ambition, a desire for getting on. Seek them not. We should seek first the kingdom of God and not great things for ourselves. Lucifer was a favorite in heaven. He was the leader of the heavenly choir. Like many musicians, he craved adulation, praise. He turned his head. While he had a special mission to execute, he failed to carry out the divine will and brought untold, indescribable misery both to heaven and to earth. We are therefore not to think of ourselves, Paul says, more highly than we ought to think. Now, God has given us certain talents. It's not wrong to evaluate them and use them to His glory. But if we think of ourselves more highly, comparing ourselves among ourselves, then we are not wise. Part number 3, the curse of self first. What is the meaning of the word curse? Read carefully in Desire of Ages the story of the cursed fig tree. A curse is the result when God's gracious blessings and mercies are completely spurned. We need His blessing in order to fulfill His divine purpose. It's a divine empowering that enables man to carry out what he is designed to carry out. When we spurn this, ridiculing it, despising it, showing indifference to it, the waves of mercy beaten back one day cease to flow. And then man is left to himself to shrivel and die, as was the cursed fig tree. Now the whole nation was cursed too. I think of the story of Achan, 6th, 7th chapters of the book of Joshua. City of Jericho had just been taken. Ai was a little city, but at Ai, Israel suffered defeat. And when the divine light had shone into the camp, Achan had been shown to be a thief and a liar and disobedient to God. And his disobedience brought death and ruin and shame to Israel. In the days of Haggai, the people ran to build their own homes, to decorate their own houses, and the temple of God lay untouched. Its beauty, its needs, not considered of any value whatever. Israel put personal advancement, personal comfort above the progress of the cause of God. And as a result, read carefully Haggai 1, their wealth, their pleasure, their home life, all disintegrated. Part number 4. If we put God first, on the other hand, there will be no curse but blessing. And blessing, as I mentioned, is the empowering to fulfill the function that God has. Study the 3 cases of blessing in Genesis 1 and 2. The fish and lower creatures are blessed, man is blessed, and the Sabbath is blessed. And when God said, "Do this or do that, be fruitful, fill, have dominion," His command produced the power to carry it out. And that power is the divine blessing. If we will put God first, then blessing will flow in business, in agriculture, in our family life, and joy and peace and prosperity and success is promised us of God. In fact, He says there will be no room to receive it. He will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob. All that He promised in days gone by, He will give in richest measure. It would be wonderful to receive so many blessings that we'd have no room to receive them. And yet God has promised if we will pay our tithes and offerings and fulfill our obligation, this is precisely what He will do for us. Part number 5, a lesson in trust. In order to carry out divine requirements, the Christian must rely upon God. Take, for example, the story of Elisha and Elijah. Both the prophets fled in times of distress. Elijah went to a woman and saw her preparing her last piece of flour to make a meal for her and for her son before they died of starvation in the famine. Notice what he says. Make me thereof a little cake first. Here was a stranger. Yet there was something authoritative and loving about his presence. Make me first a cake, he said. Remember our key text? Seek first the kingdom of God. And this lady somehow felt constrained by the Spirit to do just that. And for all the years of famine, she never lacked. Now notice, after she had fed Elijah for a week, it didn't take any more faith. It was sight. She could carry out anything that he wanted without fear. She was a Phoenician woman, heathen, knowing nothing of the blessings of God except by hearsay. And yet, her act of obedience produced wonderful results for her and for her family. If we put God first, in our time, in our interest, with our money, with our effort, He too will feed us with food that will satisfy us much more than physical food does. Part number 6, God cares for His own. If He cared for this Phoenician woman, supplying her with all she needed for herself and for her family because she was obedient to Elijah's call, how much more will God supply all our needs if we will but trust Him? Trust Him completely. 3 times a year Israel was required, in the person of its males, to go up to Jerusalem to worship. Notice the promises God gives. When you are away, I will prevent the animals from breaking up your fields and houses. I will be your insurance policy. You just obey me, and I will take care of you. Well, some of them may have lived 200 miles away. We read of the Apostle Paul making journeys from Greece, wanting to get there before the Passover, before the Pentecost, or before the Day of Atonement. It would take him weeks to make the trip. Perhaps some of the folk had to walk for 2 weeks, and then spend a week of the Passover, and then walk back for 2 weeks. And during that 4 or 5 week period, God says, I will take care of you. If we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Christ promises, all things will be added. Let's try it. Taste and see, is what the scripture says. Put it into practice. And then when we have seen how it works, how the promises of God are really carried out, we will be much more ready to obey in every detail.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.